Have you ever wondered why certain economic beliefs persist despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary? Thomas Sowell's Economic Facts and Fallacies tackles this question head-on, revealing how plausible-sounding economic misconceptions shape policies that often harm the very people they're meant to help. What makes fallacies particularly dangerous isn't that they're simply wrong, it's that they contain enough truth to seem reasonable while missing crucial context. This missing context leads to unintended consequences when these ideas become government policies. Unlike in business or mathematics, where reality forces correction, government policies can persist despite devastating millions of lives because the political, financial, and psychological costs of admitting error are too high. Consider the zero-sum fallacy, the assumption that economic transactions are processes where one party's gain must be another's loss. In reality, voluntary transactions continue only when both parties benefit. When government intervenes to help one side, like tenants through rent control, it introduces requirements that reduce mutually beneficial transactions. Egypt's 1960 rent control policy, intended to help tenants, actually discouraged apartment construction, creating housing shortages that forced many to live in deplorable conditions. Cities emerged along waterways because wire transport was far cheaper than land transport. Rome, Paris, New York, and other major cities grew near rivers, lakes, or seas to facilitate food imports and product exports. The rare exceptions, like Samarkand or Atlanta, had alternative transportation advantages. Ancient cities were remarkably compact. Rome had Dallas's population in just 2% of its area because people traveled on foot. While horse-drawn carriages, elevated trains, and automobiles later expanded urban boundaries, many planners now oppose road expansion despite declining transit ridership. Nationwide transit use fell by 2 million between 1960-2000, despite 60 million more workers. Housing affordability has transformed dramatically. Before widespread government intervention, Americans spent less of their income on housing despite lower real incomes. In 1970, Bay Area housing was as affordable as elsewhere. A median income family could pay off a median priced home in 13 years using 25% of their income. Today, it requires 50%. The culprit isn't simply population growth, but supply restrictions. Las Vegas demonstrates this. Its population nearly tripled between 1980-2000 with stable housing prices because construction kept pace with demand. Women's professional representation shows surprising historical patterns. Their presence in elite positions and who's who listings was actually higher in 1902 than 1958. While women's share of doctoral degrees dropped from 17% in the 1920s-30s to 10% by the early 1960s, all before major anti-discrimination laws. These trends closely tracked marriage patterns. Periods of higher professional representation coincided with later marriage ages. When median marriage age began rising again in 1956 and birth rates declined from 1957, women's educational attainment followed suit. Career choices often reflect anticipated motherhood impacts. Fields like physics and computer engineering, where knowledge quickly becomes outdated, pose greater challenges for those planning career interruptions than education or literature, where expertise remains relevant longer. This helps explain why women, despite increasing PhD numbers, remain concentrated in education, 60% plus of doctorates, rather than engineering, less than 20%. The gender pay gap largely disappears when accounting for part-time work, children, and domestic responsibilities, becoming negligible for childless full-time workers age 21-35 and non-existent for those living alone. Academic institutions operate differently from businesses, receiving minimal income from tuition, under 33% for private schools and 16% for public ones. Faculty uniquely serve as both employees and policymakers, often prioritizing their interests over students' needs in scheduling and curriculum decisions. the tenure system creates unexpected challenges. Despite aiming to provide job security, it often disadvantages excellent teachers who must choose between investing time in teaching or pursuing research required for tenure. The value of elite education is frequently overstated. A 2006 survey showed only 4 of America's 50 largest corporation CEOs held Ivy League degrees, while most graduated from public institutions. The claim that college adds $1 million to lifetime earnings is oversimplified. The actual net difference ranges from $150,000 at open admission private colleges to $500,000 at selective private schools. Income statistics can be misleading when viewed without context. While household income grew just 6% from 1969-1996, per-person income rose 51% due to shrinking household sizes. Similarly, the shrinking middle-class narrative stems from using fixed income brackets while overall wealth increases. By 2007, over half of American households earned $50,000 or more, compared to one-third with equivalent buying power in 1967. Slavery wasn't originally race-based. Europeans enslaved Europeans, Asians enslaved Asians, and Africans enslaved Africans. Between 1500 and 1800, Barbary Coast pirates enslaved over 1 million Europeans, more than the number of Africans brought to what became the United States. The legacy of slavery argument for fatherless black families conflicts with historical data. Most black children lived in two-parent homes during slavery and after. Black marriage rates exceeded white rates in the early 20th century. Out-of-wedlock births among blacks increased from 31% in the 1930s to 77% by the 1990s, showing the issue grew worse with time. By 1980, college-educated black married couples out-earned white counterparts, and by 1989, workers of all races with matching age and IQ earned similar incomes. Geography includes land configuration, climate, resources, and waterways that influence economic development. Yet natural resources don't guarantee wealth. Singapore, with virtually no resources, has double Saudi Arabia's per capita income. The concept of third world nations isn't static. Singapore rose from extreme poverty to great wealth, while Argentina fell from the top 10 most prosperous nations. The overpopulation causes poverty theory lacks definition and evidence. Argentina has lower population density than the United States, but less prosperity. India has higher density than both, yet prosperous Japan has even more people per square mile. Cultural values often drive economic success more than external conditions. History shows immigrant groups, from Italians in Argentina to Chinese in Southeast Asia, frequently surpass native populations economically despite starting at a disadvantage. Corporate CEO compensation draws outsized criticism compared to athletes and entertainers. While S&P-listed CEOs averaged $8.3 million in 2006, far below Tiger Woods' $115 million, this investment can be justified when minor improvements in decision-making save companies hundreds of millions. Economic disparities naturally arise from differences in geography, demography, history, and culture. We shouldn't expect identical outcomes between genders, education levels, or developed versus developed nations. A common misconception is that third-party observers know better what's good for people than they know themselves, an assumption that influences housing, transportation, and development policies. We must challenge this premise by demanding evidence of such superior knowledge. In a world shaped by economic fallacies, we must look beyond conventional wisdom to examine the evidence. Economic reality is often more complex and hopeful than commonly believed. By questioning plausible claims and demanding proof over assertions, we can make better decisions and support truly beneficial policies.